Hello and welcome to a very festive, very special episode of American Pale Males. That's right, folks. It's the holiday / non-denominational winter celebration episode. And with me, I not only have one co-host, I have two co-hosts. It's so exciting. Let's throw it over to Jeremy and we'll leave the second one a sneaky little surprise. Jeremy, how's it going?
I'm doing quite well. The temperature's finally dropped. Snowed a little bit down here. I don't know about where you and mystery guest are, but it's getting cold. It's starting to feel a little bit like Christmas. Mystery guest, what say you?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Bing Crosby.
Hey everybody, it's Mike. It's good to be back. It's nice to be with you, obviously, Michael. To get back with the former co-host of mine, and also to share the radio stage with Jeremy, who has been doing an amazing job. I had to wavered between coming on and just disparaging Jeremy this whole time. I decided to go in the spirit of the season and be generous and say thank you very much, Jeremy. You've been doing awesome, and it's been fun to listen.
No problem.
It's a little weird. It's kind of like someone else using like your child as like a puppet. Well, using their voice. But it's been fun to listen to and kind of kick back and be like, I didn't have to do any work and this great podcast is still happening.
Well, I'm glad that you like it because I find it impossible to listen to the sound of my own voice. So while I remain a subscriber, I have not been listening for months now. But that will change and I will attempt to listen to myself as soon as I can.
I especially liked the frying of the candy bars. That was great. I like that something went wrong and then it also went well. So that was very entertaining to listen
to. It was tasty. Melty candy is always great.
Yeah, can't complain.
Can't go wrong.
So Mike's back. And during the time that Jeremy was guest hosting, Mike, you were, I think, you know, you might have emailed me here and there and said you liked a few things, but one little sticking point that you had to jump in on.
Yes.
We're throwing all the way back to, I think it was the Off-Color Brewing episode, which was...
Time has no meaning for me, Michael. I can't tell you.
Rodney Shoots Bertram, I believe it was called.
I don't even remember why it was called that. I remember seeing that, and I remember it coming up, but I have no recollection, and I don't want to know. It's better a mystery.
Yeah, it looks like the November 7th episode.
Yes. Listen to that episode, and Mike, the thing that you wanted to jump on was the discussion about the top three Mario games. You wanted to lend your piece there.
Right.
We'll get to you in a second, because we had some listener feedback.
That's right.
Off docket. I also have some listener feedback that you're not aware of, but we'll get to that after the bag is over.
Oh, got a special surprise for you.
Yeah. We had a tweet from Michelle E., who said the best Mario game is Super Mario 3 because of the movie The Wiz. The bad guy had the power glove. And also, Mario in the frog suit is the cutest.
So, Michael, I have to call you out here. Did she say The Wiz?
She did.
She meant The Wizard.
Did she say The Wiz? Because if she did, her opinion is null and void. Sorry, listener Michelle E.
She corrected herself after that tweet.
Okay. Onward.
Yes. Yeah, The Wiz, completely different movie.
Very different movie.
Right.
And then we had good friend of the show, Steve, throw something at me. He said, don't you love Mario RPG as well, Michael? Mm. And so that's a good point. I am going to revise my list slightly.
What?
I had Mario Galaxy, Mario 64, and Super Mario World. I'm not putting Mario RPG on there. That's technically a Square game, not a Nintendo game.
Oh, my God.
And after
out on a technicality.
Yeah. And I'm putting Mario 3 on the list. I'm kicking Super Mario World off.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's just a little more focused, a little more... there's some magic about it being on the original Nintendo, so I have to revise my... I thought about it toiling over these long months, and I'm revising that, so...
Sell out.
So, Mike, we left everybody kind of hanging. So tell us your thoughts on Mario.
Well, Mario is the first real video game memory I have, as I'm sure a lot of people our age experienced NES back in the 80s. It's a tough go because there are, I don't think there's a real stinker in the bunch, which is a real testament to the quality of the series. There are some that, you know, you might not like as much, but that's kind of a weird faint praise, I guess. I have to say, and I've been thinking about this for a while myself, I have to put number three, I have to put Mario 3 at number three.
Okay.
I love that game. It came with my Nintendo when I got one for Christmas. So it was kind of like the first one I ever owned. So there's a lot of nostalgia there. And it is a really excellent game. It introduced a ton of new cool things to Mario. All these suits, the Tanuki suit. I mean, who turns into... how it's turning into a statue?
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. It's just a really excellent game. A lot of cool, varied worlds in there. The Secrets of the Warp Whistle, also very fun.
Very true.
But I got to go past that because I have the other two games in my list just edge it out. They're very close together, all three of them. The second one is Super Mario 64, mostly for the whole paradigm shift. You know, it put it into 3D and it was super successful and it kind of laid the groundwork for so many games that came after it. And I just remember buying a used Nintendo 64 from Video Adventure, which is now Video Games Etc. I played it at my aunt and uncle's house for like hours. I bought Mario 64 and Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, and I mostly played Mario 64 that whole time.
It was just, Shadows.
Yeah. So that's another great memory, and also just a really excellent game, a real textbook way of, you know, taking a 2D character and turning it into a 3D world and just really making a successful game. I'd have to say number one, and it's actually maybe my favorite video game of all time, as Super Mario World.
Ooh,
good call.
It took all of the awesome stuff from 3 and kind of just amplified it. You know, you have your overworld map. You have these cool different worlds. There's even, you know, the whole Forest of Illusion, where that stuff is tricky. Like, I mean,
puzzle game.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I always think, oh, maybe I should go look this up. I don't know how much time I want to try and spend finding all the secret exits again. But I don't know. It's just like, it just amplified 3. And it was, you know, another early gaming memory. And funny enough, I didn't actually own the game until, right after college, I bought Super Nintendo off of eBay, and I bought Super Mario World as well. So I always borrowed it from someone and played it that way, or rented it or something like that. But Super Mario World 3 is great, 64 is great, but World really took what was the best about 3 and added a little extra, the Star Road, Special World. I mean, this game, if you beat all the Special World, all of a sudden the characters all look different. They're all wearing like Mario masks. I mean, the creativity continued. It's just an excellent game. A lot of good memories and great soundtrack as well.
Does Mario All-Stars count? Because I had that. Can I use that as well?
I feel like that's kind of cheating, but I'll allow it.
It's totally a cheat.
There's individual games within that. That's true. The thing.
Right. Well, that's the only way you could play Super Mario 2, a.k.a. the Lost Levels at the time.
That's true.
Considered too hard for the U.S. audience.
It was legitimately hard.
They took this weird gardening game where you pull up radishes and things.
I love that game.
That is a great game, too.
Mario 2 is good.
I actually wish they would do I don't know if it has to be 3D or anything, but it could be just like a 2D scroller in that universe.
Yeah.
And do
I would
more
love
of
that
kind of thing. It'd be
revisit
really
it.
Interesting. Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised they haven't, actually.
Well, thank you, Mike, for adding your opinion to that. I think all the listeners now have a lot to think over and reflect on.
Just sit under a lamp and just kind of, you know, cross your hands in front of yourself and hold your fists to your chin and just kind of think about your life, think about your choices.
Yeah. I'm in an overstuffed leather chair in front of a fireplace right now, and I'm about ready to whip a snifter of brandy into the thing.
A little pipe.
Yeah. That too.
With bubbles.
Jeremy, yeah. What was your feedback?
Oh, the feedback that I got that you're not aware of?
Yes.
So, I was informed by, I guess, former enemy of the show, Andrew, that he was unaware as to why he was an enemy of the show. And apparently, he and wife of the former enemy of the show, Christine, had been listening and were puzzled as to this. I had to explain to him that anyone who is not known to listen to the show is considered an enemy of the show. So, I don't retract it from that point in time, but from here on out, no longer an enemy. Welcome,
all
Andrew.
Right. Friend of the show. Come on in.
Nice armistice there.
Yeah.
I'll do what I can.
Michael, there was another piece of mail in the Pale Mailbag. Maybe you guys didn't catch this one from Christine.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I can go ahead and read it. I've got it right here.
Please do.
I bypassed the mail door. it says, "Hey, guys, longtime listener, first-time writer-inner. A few thoughts I had while listening to your latest episode. One, I enjoy the random spin-offs video games, Simpsons trivia, etc. Two, it would be fun if you could do an episode where the audience gets to drink along with you. Tell us what you will be reviewing the next week or whenever. Have it relatively easy to get, widely distributed. And that way we can agree or disagree with a more recent memory. And three, Super Mario 3 has my vote, although I didn't play much Mario. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Christine."
So there, again, Mario 3.
Yeah.
So
Mario 3. God, bypass the mail door. I just don't get those emails. Otherwise, I would have said, oh, God, I don't even know what relationship she is to me, but I know her's Grubbs, so Grubbs, hello. Thank you for writing in.
Yeah, we'll have to look at some common beers. I have some actually sitting here that might be a little more accessible, so stay tuned for that, maybe.
Yeah, I think we did that once. We really early on in the podcast, we either tweeted or posted on Facebook, or maybe both. We said, here's what we're going to be having. And I don't know if that ever went anywhere, but now that we have somebody that's interested, we should definitely get back into that.
Plus, yeah. I know where she lives.
Bonus.
Well, we should probably focus. We should probably get back to the reason for the season.
It's pleasing.
Or cheesing.
Mario is close
yes.
Because, you know, you buy him around this time of year to give to kids.
Yeah, unless you're trying to get that NES Classic, right, guys?
Or unless you're a college student buying Super Nintendos off of eBay.
That's right.
Right. But I want to do top three again with you guys, or top anything here.
Okay.
I want to talk about Christmas songs or winter songs, you know, whatever variety you want to mention. Mm-hmm. And I want to go around and get your opinions on them. Do you love them? Do you hate them? Do you have any favorite ones? And so as I thought of this idea, my general blanket statement was, I hate all Christmas music. Or, it's so annoying. It's the same songs over and over. But then I'm like, but I do like that one. And that one's okay. And so here's my top three.
So you were started out as a real Grinch, Michael.
Yeah. And then my heart grew and grew and grew.
Until it exploded.
Yes. And some of these I don't know the title, so I might have to just like sing them or something.
I love these songs, yet I don't know the title.
I like King Wenceslas.
Oh, that's my wife's favorite Christmas song and maybe favorite song of all time.
Is that the one that's the same as Greensleeves?
No, that's What Child Is This.
Okay.
Yeah, King Wenceslas is like, good old King of Wenceslas. Something about Feastive and yeah.
Well, I think we know what we need to do after we finish recording here, Michael, is lay down the tracks for your Christmas album.
Yeah, right. This next one does not require any singing, though, so I'm going Mannheim Steamroller, Deck the Halls.
Oh, okay.
If you were to sing Deck the Halls, I might deck your face. But if you're Mannheim Steamroller and doing that little techno wee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee version, I'm going to give you a thumbs up.
Okay.
And then the last one I have is the one with the bells. What's that one called?
Carol of the Bells?
Tubular Bells?
Tubular Bells.
That is a thing. I swear to God, it's a thing.
No, it is. It's in some horror movie, isn't it?
It's the theme from The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's it.
What's the one... Oh, gosh.
Is it the Home Alone song?
Oh.
Is it the home? Is it in Home Alone?
It is in Home Alone. It's called Carol of the Bells, I think, is what you're thinking.
Yeah,
of.
It
Michael,
is.
Maybe you could sing a little bit of it.
Well,
please.
Now I can't think of how it goes.
Or am I wrong? I could be off completely.
That's Carol of the Bells, yeah.
That's Carol of the Bells?
Yeah, so is that what you like, Michael?
Yes, that's the one, and I like that one too.
Yeah, you really love it.
Great.
You don't know the melody or the lyrics.
Or the title.
Well, I got all these other songs bouncing around in my head now, so those are my top three. Mike,
yeah,
hit us up with your Christmas hits.
So I kind of approach this as like, when is it like feel like Christmas? Like, what songs do you have to hear before you're like, okay, it's Christmas time?
Sure.
Excellent. Michael, I'm glad to hear you say Mannheim Steamroller. I almost put them on the list, but I feel like at this point they're like the Billy Joel of Christmas music. Like, they're very widely hated for whatever reason. But I do like them a lot. I actually have their CD in my car right now. I was listening to it on my way to work. My number one song to hear that really gets me in the Christmas spirit is "O Tannenbaum," specifically by the Vince Guaraldi Trio.
Oh,
okay.
You might know this from the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack. It's the first song off of their
instrumental.
Yeah, yeah. It's a jazz trio. Or jazz combo. I don't know what the technical wording is, but really great, nice jazzy, kind of puts you in the mood of the Christmas special, and it's just the whole album is great. I recommend it. Number two is an instrumental song, Sleigh Ride, and I can't remember the name of the composer. His first name is Leroy. And the recording I'm thinking of, I think, is the Boston Pops Orchestra, but that's the that instrumental song with the, you know, the.
Okay.
Oh.
I really like that song, especially that old recording of it. I don't really like it when there's lyrics sung with it. Just the instrumental will do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can go instrumental too, but lyrics, when the backup singers go ding a ling a ling a ling ding ding, throw that out the window.
Michael, we already know you have a problem with lyrics.
Yeah, I'm discovering that as I'm raging here. I'm sorry, I interrupt. Go ahead, Mike.
And the last song, which anytime I hear it always brings a smile to my face, is Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. A lot of great stage banter in the particular recording that I'm thinking of. A lot of chatter between him and the band. And rest in peace, Clarence. Makes the Santa noises towards the end, and Bruce starts like laughing while he's singing. It's just like a very joyous song, and it happens to be Christmassy, so it's nice to listen to at this time of year.
Okay.
Michael, I want to mention quick before we pass it on to Jeremy, you also mentioned, or if you have songs you hate.
Yes.
Are we doing that later, or you want me to throw this in now?
Let's do that later. Let's stay a little joyous for now.
All right.
Well, I have a few too, so.
Jeremy, it's all you.
Well, so I'm going to break with tradition here, guys. I kind of hate traditional Christmas music with a fiery passion. One might say with the power of 1,000 burning suns. I just can't get behind it. It's too played out. It's too much of this Courier and Ives nonsense for my taste. But that said, there are still some great Christmas songs. In no particular order, we have NOFX's Xmas Has Been X'd Out off their 2012 release, self-entitled, I believe is what it's called. Basically, NOFX are, maybe they're atheist, but they're probably Jewish, and the whole song is about how great it is to have a Hanukkah as opposed to one single night. I am not going to bring up the Adam Sandler classic, the Hanukkah song, because it's no good. But, so there's one. You can find that. I would maybe don't listen to it if you take the religious aspects of the season seriously. That's up to you. No judgment here. One that's a little bit more fun is King Diamond, No Presents for Christmas. It starts off with a nice little Muzak rendition of, you know, just like, oh, hey, it's a nice thing. And then all of a sudden there's this maniacal cackle that comes in the middle of it. And then it's just double bass and ripping guitars all over the place.
Cool.
But The best one, for me anyways, is Typo Negative's Red Water, parenthesis, Christmas Morning with a U. And I'm going to bring the room down a little bit. Typo Negative is not a cheery band, or at least they weren't at the time they recorded the album October Rust. But this is a song about the death of Peter, lead singer Peter Steele's father, and features, you know, it's a sigh over the departed, such as my table's been set for but seven, last year I dined with 11, and things like that. But they also have a really black sense of humor and throw in little riffs of Carol of the Bells and God Rest You Merry Gentlemen in between there. And it's a bummer, but, you know, for me, it's better than the regular Christmas music. So I'll tie that off with, you know, King Diamond, Typo, and NOFX. And as far as the stuff I dislike, it's pretty much all the other stuff. So I'll throw it over to you guys for the rest of these.
All right, so some more options. Maybe people haven't heard those songs, and they should check them out. Expand your horizons.
Well.
So, Jeremy, it sounds like you're more into the Christmas songs that have like a cursory relation to the actual holiday by bands you enjoy. Is that safe to say?
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason why I came across this stuff, but it mostly comes across from just the fact that they have Christmas songs in like albums that shouldn't have Christmas songs. I believe...
Gotcha.
I think Dropkick Murphys had one at one point about everyone getting hammered at Christmas and getting into a fist fight, but that one's not my favorite, but it's ones that I tend to come across. I think it's due to my time in retail when I was a young man.
They would
play, you know, Mariah Carey and Madonna and all the traditionals over again. And
Santa Baby.
Yeah, which is disturbing on so many levels. We need not get into it. But I don't know.
Fair enough.
Typo is pretty hilarious. You should check that one out, Michael.
Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York. Is that a...
I can get down with the Pogues.
Okay.
If you can understand what Shane McGowan is saying.
That's right.
And that is a big if. But songs you guys hate, go.
Yeah. Mike, what do you hate?
It was so easy to come up with this, so much easier than my top three.
Yeah.
The song by the band New Song, The Christmas Shoes.
Oh.
Is maybe
I've only heard that once, and I'm proud of
that. You are a lucky person. It's like, since I like Christmas music, I usually have the local radio station that plays Christmas music on when I'm driving around, and the risk of doing that is accidentally hearing this just atrocious song. For those who aren't in the know, and maybe I shouldn't tell you about it so you can remain blissfully ignorant, but it's a story song about a guy who's shopping for Christmas and he's in a bad mood. And a little boy in front of him puts a bunch of pennies on the store counter with some shoes and is trying to buy these shoes for his mother who's dying in the hospital so that she looks good when she meets Jesus.
That's awesome.
It is the worst song in the world. It's just like the whole melody and the performance is bad, and it even has like a children's chorus at the end. The whole thing is terrible. The best way to experience this song is to YouTube. Patton Oswalt did a bit about this song and about how much he hates it, and he breaks it down, and there's an animation with it.
That's why I know this.
That is the best way to experience this song. NSFW. That is something I will listen to over and over again, but the song itself, I will swerve off the road into a tree.
Good.
Michael?
Geez, yeah. Now that you say that, mine don't seem so bad in comparison. Jingle Bell Rock?
Oh, I like that one.
It does not rock.
Which one are you listening to?
The original one.
The Brenda Lee?
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever has that opening like bar is like... You know, that's...
Oh, God.
That sound is like a CAA trigger, and it makes me, like, go Project Ultra.
We've got some MK Ultra crap going on here.
Yeah. Also, in that same hat, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Does not rock. Stop that. Although, wasn't that in Home Alone?
Oh, I think both of those are in Home Alone.
Yeah, I think they both are.
That scene with where he's like dancing with the mannequins
and Michael Jordan is on like a train
going
around the house. Yeah,
whatever song's playing then gets a reprieve because of that scene, I guess.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Saved at the last minute by the governor.
And then any song that perpetuates the mythos of Santa. That's right. We talked about this last year. I don't get it. I don't get it.
It is so weird, I guess.
It is weird. Not that I dislike it. It's just this institutional lie that has passed down generation to generation.
Maybe that's for like a social like customs podcast or something like that.
Right. We probably shouldn't get into it here. We could be going on for a while.
Right.
So anyway.
I am biting my tongue so hard right now, you guys. You have no clue.
This is obviously a great topic to have Jeremy included in.
Yes, we run the spectrum here. I like it.
That's
no,
true.
It's all viewpoints.
So we have Michael, who kind of knows what the songs are.
Yeah.
Jeremy, who doesn't really like them at all, and me, who had to narrow down a list to three.
Yeah, we should. Michael, you should make a playlist of these and put them on the Facebook page.
There you go.
We could do that, yeah.
And please record yourself doing karaoke for your selections.
I'll need an auto-tune to help me out with that, I think. All right, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, do Michael. You know what the time is besides Christmas time?
Well, I'm looking at the clock, but time zones and everything. Michael, why don't you tell us?
It's time for the FDR.
Whoop, whoop.
First remote three-way FDR in three different cities. Aside that time, FDR went on a train on his campaign tour. he went to a lot of cities then.
Whistle stop.
So today, well, does somebody want to tell him what the FDR is real quick?
Mike, you've been gone for a while. You knock it out.
Yeah. Let me see if I remember. FDR is where we find a drink. No. No, just kidding. I know.
Oh, God.
It's where kidding. We find a beer, rate a beer. Oh, wow.
Whoa, heyo.
I'm screwing this up.
Michael, hit the bell.
All right, hang on. Okay, take two. It's where we find a beer, drink a beer, and then we rate the beer. Michael, you are the grand benefactor for today's FDR.
Yes, you were.
Through various yes. courier services.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because this beer is only available in Wisconsin, and so we had to get it down to you guys.
Yes.
This is New Glarus Brewing Company's Spotted Cow Grand Cru.
Do-do-do!
So this is part of the Thumbprint series. We have done Spotted Cow on the show. It was one of the very first episodes.
It's a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're kind of hearkening back to that with this limited edition version of Spotted Cow, the Grand Cru. Let me tell you a little bit about it.
Please do.
With the corporate description. This boss cow rules with 8.5% ABV and original gravity of 18 degrees Play-Doh. We don't talk about OG that much here, but...
No.
Yeah. Fine Wisconsin and Czech malts. Step out with hand-chosen Willamette and Yakima Valley hops, joined up with French and German varieties. Fresh coriander and sweet orange peel kick up Dan's special farmhouse ale. Bottle fermented and hazy as early meadow morning, expect Spotted Cow Grand Cru to be an assertively quaffable imperial edition of Wisconsin's favorite brew.
It does say quaffable right there on the bottle.
Yeah, I was going to say, even yeah. Spotted Cow's getting in on the quaffableness. Michael, I just looked. Spotted Cow was the very first episode we ever did. The very first official episode.
Okay. Well, there. That's a nice throwback.
Yeah, since this is the last episode we'll ever do.
Dun, dun, dun.
The style is Grand Cru.
Michael, what's a Grand Cru?
I actually looked at that, and it's not a very well-defined term. There's no... in the beer tasting judge's official handbook or whatever that is, it's not listed as a variety, and it mentions that it kind of spans multiple Belgian type varieties.
I was gonna say my understanding of it is just that it's like a fancy version of something that exists. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that. I don't know.
It makes sense in this case.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys would have paid attention and maybe read a book every now and then, you would find out that while the term Grand Cru is well defined with respect to vineyards, its use with respect to other products is unregulated.
So, I just brought up Wikipedia and saw that exact same sentence.
Shut up. No, you didn't.
The flavor, the website has a notes it as an imperial version of Wisconsin's favorite beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of subjective, but we'll give it to them. Available in 4-packs, cases, and quarter barrels. This is a bottle that came from a 4-pack. Pair with Indian curry, seared flank steak, Havarti cheese, or apple pie with caramel sauce.
I'll eat the pie and curry. Michael, you get the steak.
Wait a minute. So yeah, we have it here in the Thumbprint Series bottle, which is red in tone.
Mm-hmm.
Has the red bottle cap, unlike the usual green bottle cap for New Glarus. So, and Thumbprint Series basically means a limited run. It might never come back again. So enjoy it while we can here.
Yeah.
Michael, up in Wisconsin, have you seen this still around? Because we've had these for a little bit.
You know, I have. I don't think I've seen it recently.
Interesting.
I think they might still be available because my mother-in-law came recently and brought a couple. I don't remember if she brought more than one of these, but she did bring one, so they must be available somewhere still.
Yeah. Aha. Is it time?
Keep your eyes peeled. Yeah, it's time. Let's just open it up here.
All right.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Give it the old pour here.
Mm-hmm.
It is lighter in color.
Looks like a spotted cow to me.
It's a little darker, I think.
It's been quite a long time since I've had just spotted cow.
So smells like a spotted cow.
Twinge amber. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see the amberness, especially like on the edges.
Right. It smells like kind of a boozy spotted cow.
The looks to be very large bubbles on this one.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of floral, too.
It's got it does have a nice nose. I'm using my New Glarus glass that they give you for free when you get a special, like an expensive tasting at the brewery.
It's the way to go.
I think the official thing that it's that Great Beer said is to use a tulip glass if you have one of those. But, you know, I'm going to drink indigenously, as they say, and use their special glass.
Thanks for telling me now. I'm using a boring old shaker.
Michael?
All right. I guess.
As the bringer, you are the drinker. Yeah, that's got a nice nose. Definitely something above the regular spotted cow, I feel like.
Definitely.
All right. Well, why don't you two go in? It is
okay.
Delicious.
Now you're talking double team.
I can't. It's hard to place in relation to a spotted cow. Again, I had one maybe a few months ago over the summer, but not. Ooh. You know, I don't have it a lot.
It's hairier than a spotted cow.
For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like it fits better in these winter months.
Absolutely.
A little warming, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, that
8.5%.
It's almost like it's a winter warmer version of a spotted cow.
Mm-hmm.
Without all of the dumb spices that get in the way of the beer.
I like it more than a spotted cow. Well, not to jump the gun.
No, I would agree with you there.
It's a lot more flavor. Spotted cow, it's a nice, easy to drink beer, good barbecue type beer, but
or wedding beer,
or wedding beer as we've seen. But it doesn't have a lot of flavor. It has more flavor than a light beer, but
I think it's probably the quintessential gateway beer. Like out of every beer you
absolutely
could think of, Spotted Cow is your ticket into the larger world of craft brewing.
Yes, that's a very good point.
So, sidebar, if I may interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
I have noticed in attending various bars, restaurants around the Iowa City, Coralville area that there are a great number of breweries in the area, the corridor as it's lovingly called, that are going after the Pilsner / light lager / we're going to make a beer for people who don't drink beer that they don't recognize. Have you guys noticed any of this in your necks of the woods?
Not so much, although we don't, obviously in Dubuque, we don't have any really varied breweries here. We just have the one. Although Back Pocket is opening a tap room in Dubuque,
which is coming.
Awesome. Yeah. But I will say, I noticed that Founders has like a PC Pills. I know even New Glarus has one called Totally Naked that is kind of his take on like a domestic beer. But
it seems like there's always like one with certain, you know, craft breweries. Like, I know Capital has, like, their Supper Club.
Yeah, not bad.
Really stripped-down version. Yeah, not bad.
The ones I've noticed around here have been, they're just, sidebar to the sidebar. They're keep getting more and more breweries opening up in the area, and it's starting to get a little out of hand. If you guys remember where Mondo's was on the Coralville Strip for local history, there is a brewery called Reunion in there now that is the first one that I'm not wild about in the area, which is... that sounds like it's a backhanded compliment, but that's a good thing. That the area has enough interest in, you know, specialty craft brewery, whatever's, that it can still maintain a not as hot one, in my opinion. But while dining with the Iowa men's basketball team, unintentionally, local restaurant called Monica's, I've been introduced to the Iowa Brewing Company and their Iowa Eagle Pre-Prohibition Lager, which is, it's basically just a good version of a light beer. And one of my favorite beers to come out of the area has been Turner Alley's Czech Village Pilsner. And you guys, when you come down here next time, we are going to get some Czech Village Pilsner, and you're going to find out why I've become a Pilsner maniac.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Nice. Cool.
But anyways.
Pilsners are ones that I never reach for, I don't feel like, because I mean, when they're done well, it's a solid beer, but it's nothing that I ever get that excited about. So I'm intrigued by this.
I can't put my finger on what makes it, like, if it's something different than what I would expect, or if it's just the style done incredibly well. I suspect it's the latter, but it's delicious. But Grand Cru, guys, where do we stand on it?
Yeah.
After the sidebar.
It's tasty. Yeah, right. As I keep going, it seems to taste a little sweeter.
Yes.
I noticed that too. Actually, initially, I thought it was a little on the bitter end, and I still do get a little bit of that.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's, I think it's kind of a boozy bitterness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Although that has mellowed off a little bit for me.
Yes. Yeah, same here.
How cold were your guys' beers when you brought them out? Was it refrigerator for 12 hours cold, or... oh, crap, I just put it in a little while ago cold.
Mine was in the refrigerator for a while, but then it was just sitting out without a koozie or anything.
Okay, same here.
While we were getting started.
And I think that may have something to do with why a little bit of that sweetness is coming out. I don't know the scientific reason behind it, but it seems the warmer it gets... I mean, I suppose the warmer anything gets, the more the aromatics will come out.
Right. Mm-hmm. This bottle doesn't have any, like, the thumbprint doesn't turn blue when the bottle is cold or anything, so it's not one that you have to enjoy as cold as possible.
A cow dies of hypothermia every time you put one of these in a freezer.
It has a lingering aftertaste, too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of that booziness finish.
Yeah, boozy, like, grainy.
I don't know if I like that much, but... I like the flavor, but yeah, it kind of hangs around a little bit.
It's boozy, but sweet.
Yeah. Like almost a shot of some sort of herbal spirit or something like that. Like you just finished that like maybe 5 minutes ago, maybe chased it with water, and now you have this kind of like herby, sweet, booziness lingering.
That's fair. I was thinking on our way to the ratings here, we should probably say, compare this to a Spotted Cow. Vanilla.
Well, I think it blows Spotted Cow out of the water.
Okay.
I would reach for this over a Spotted Cow. It just has a lot more flavor. A lot, and the flavor I like too. It's not just it has more, you know, it's that kind of farmhouse, grassy, floral flavor that I really dig. It's kind of has a weird back, but overall I really like it. So
yeah, it's good. You know what? It's kind of confusing to me, though. I'm not sure if I would reach for this over a regular Spotted Cow, mostly because I guess I'm thinking of barbecue reachability at this point.
Okay.
Because
in the cold of winter?
got some heat lamps. No.
yeah.
I think, I don't know, like this kind of beer, I think I could have one in and be done, but I feel like I could reach for multiple Spotted Cows.
That's a good point, yeah. That's fair enough.
Spotted Cow OG is more of a, I'm going out and I don't really need to get trashed right away beer. It's sure. I can have several of these and maintain, go see a show, maybe hang out with friends, play some darts, you know what happens, but this is definitely a, I'm going to sit by the light of the fire reading my tomes with leather backs and,
right.
you know, the basically the Raven, but the Simpsons version of the Raven, not yeah. the real...
Or the WCW version of the Raven.
The joke's on you. The Raven was in ECW, WCW, and WWF. So take that.
Well, I knew him when he was WCW.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess they have their own merits. I mean, sometimes you're in a throw some darts mood, and sometimes you're in a miser by the fire mood.
Sometimes you feel like a crew, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So
Spotted Cow has nuts, crew don't.
Should we go into the ratings? Are anybody else have anything to say for the record?
Are we getting any hops out of this?
To me, the predominant back-end flavor, which is where I usually expect to find hops, mm-hmm. is the ABV.
Right.
Definitely.
The boozy bitterness, yeah.
And I'm sure the hops are adding a lot of support flavor there that are contributing to the whole symphony, but it's those big cymbals in the percussion section that are going ABV.
This is definitely a malty beer.
Yeah, standing out. So
for me, I mean, obviously the hops are there. Otherwise, this would be like eating sugar. Because
right, yeah.
if this is sitting at 8.5, God only knows how much malt actually went into this. So the fact that it's not just preposterously yeah. sweet means that obviously there are hops and they're balancing it out. However,
right.
I am not getting any of these Willamette or Yakima hops or whatever it was.
No. Yeah. No, they're kind of playing second fiddle to the kind of fruity, sweet flavors.
Yeah.
And the bitterness of the booziness.
So one thing we're forgetting is that there's fresh coriander and sweet orange peel in here.
Oh, whoops.
Well,
So this is almost like a blue moon in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's going in that kind of Belgian style direction.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, I think those are more supporting players. I mean, I...
Agreed.
If you told me those were in there, I'd be like, yes, I can see that. But, again, it's a symphony of flavors more than one focused flavor, I guess. So, anyway.
Shall we rate this?
Mike, you're back first. I think you should go first.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lay out the rating.
Let me take a long-awaited SOJ.
It's been a while.
Have we gotten through the backlog of episodes to all of the different names of the SOJ? There's a few of them.
Spice of Jack-O-Lantern?
Forgot about that one. I'm pretty proud of that one still.
It's tasty. I think for me, the booziness is kind of off-putting a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We've talked on the show before about like barrel-aged variants and how they have that bite, the alcoholic bite. And this kind of has that. The warming bit of it is nice because it's cold now, but the booziness is kind of putting me off just a little bit. That said, it is still very tasty. A lot of interesting flavors in there, nice sweetness. Six-pack challenge, I would say probably not. I think this is a one-and-done.
Four-pack challenge? Four-pack challenge.
Oh, boy, that's getting even... yeah, I mean, that's what it comes in. You can't even get it in six-pack.
Yeah,
this
right.
is a good sharing beer.
Yeah, no, yeah. that's a good point. I would get a four-pack and share it with my...
It's kind of what we did.
Holy crap, we did.
Yeah, I think this is a shareable beer. That said, so got to go for the rating now. I think I will give this another sip of judgment here since it's been a while. I think I'm going to go with a 3.75. Tasty,
yeah.
Better than solid. It's just that booziness is kind of putting it out a little bit for me. If it kind of amped up more of the sweetness and more of the interesting flavors, kind of like a Tank 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
I would probably rate a little higher. But, Michael, thank you so much for sharing this one. It's
yeah.
a treat.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll go in. Quick sip of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And, I agree with a lot of what you said, Mike. The ABV is a little off-putting. If you could just tweak those knobs a little bit, it would be really good.
Michael, don't use your bedroom voice.
I like it a lot. I like the flavors within, but I guess I was expecting this to be like the ultimate beer because Spotted Cow is so revered, and now we have, you throw the word Grand in there and you think, mm-hmm. oh, this is going to be the best. But so I'm a little, it didn't meet my expectations as much, but I still like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I locked in my rating as Mike was taking his second sip of judgment, and I'm going to keep that. I'm going to give it a 4.
Nice.
Respectable.
Yeah. Jeremy.
Guys, so as I stated earlier when I said, "What, Michael, what's a Grand Cru?" I didn't really have any expectations on this one. I had read the label a few times, staring at it on my wire rack in my pantry, but I didn't quite know what to expect because, you know, it talks about the noble hops, it talks about the Wisconsin and Czech malts, but it also talks about the coriander and the orange peel, and it even is deemed a farmhouse ale. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess I don't really know why they call it a farmhouse. Maybe if it was wild fermented or something along those lines, but I mean, having been to New Glarus a couple times, I don't see any way they would be able to do a wild fermentation, but I don't really have any preconceived notions on this because Spotted Cow just holds, you know, a capital B beer label in my mind. Now that I'm done stalling, I'll let you guys talk for a second while I go in for a Steve or Joe.
It is interesting to see. I mean, Michael, you mentioned Spotted Cow is like revered or whatever, and I guess it is, although, you know, when you think about it, that particular style is pretty basic in general, I guess.
I mean, I think the rarity, being only in Wisconsin, gives mm-hmm. it some more cachet.
Sure.
But, yeah. And again, being a kind of gateway beer that a lot of people who aren't beer heads like us can
right.
get into it, I think that also gives it cachet, too.
Sure.
So, I think it's revered in that regard, but it's not like the Holy Grail or anything necessarily.
I figured out what's wrong with this beer.
All right.
Well, not what's wrong. What's off about this beer.
Okay.
As you guys have said, this is a good beer. I do like the sweetness because it's present, but it's not overpowering. It doesn't feel like you've just, you know, drank some sort of crazy vanilla Beam, you know, whatever. The missing factor is the yeast. There's no yeast flavor in this. If there was a yeast flavor, and I'm waggling my finger as I tell you this, if there was a yeast flavor, this would be a Belgian golden strong ale.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
It has the sweetness. It has the slight boozy burn to it that's not overpowering. It's got the warmth, but it's missing a yeast character in my mind. What say you?
I would agree.
Yeah. It poured pretty clear, too, I thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was not as hazy as a morning. What was it?
The what?
It was set, the description said something about it being as hazy as an
early like a
morning
meadow or something.
But it really
like
wasn't hazy at all. It's clear.
Oh, yeah. No haze whatsoever.
Well, you know what's weird is the original Spotted Cow is also considered, they say it's a farmhouse as well.
That's nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be like a technicality no down boo over.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't drink that and be like, "Oh, a specimen of the farmhouse ale."
Yeah.
Anyway, all that aside, Jeremy.
But anyway, I mean, it's a strong version of a normal, you know, whatever that means, beer. But it's not like a gnarly version like a Milwaukee's Best Ice or whatever godforsaken load of crap that was that we had. I like the malty backbone to it. I like the sweetness to it. But as you guys have said before me, and I'm sounding like a broken record, the super boozy back is a little off-putting without anything to balance it out, be it hops or yeast or, you know, a roast character of any sort or some sort of adjunct. So I'm going to go with a 3.75. It's good, but I can see how if they just put one little extra element to it, no matter what it is, if it was like some sort of weird herbal aspect that I don't know what it would be. It needs something, and I don't know what it is. The obvious answer is a different strain of yeast, but it's just missing something. So three,
yeah.
But it's still good. So it's a 3.75. give it a shot if you can find it, but, you know, this isn't by any stretch of the imagination a chase beer.
Sure. No, yeah, I would agree. There's maybe if you are a huge fan of Spotted Cow, but I guess if you're a huge fan of Spotted Cow, I don't know if you'll like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's a good point too. Yeah, I think you'd kind of this is a little too strong. You know, So it's that's a good point. It's who is this marketed towards? Because the beer connoisseur,
It's marketed towards us.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, you know, we're going to be like, oh, Spotted Cow, that's kind of
Yeah.
And then the Spotted Cow drinker is going to be like, oh, I like Spotted Cow, but when they try it, they're going to be, ooh.
It's marketed to the Spotted Cow fan that does not live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's true. Or this person who grew, like, got started with Spotted Cow and then has moved on since then, I guess, maybe.
I think it's more of a novelty than anything else. And I don't mean that in any derogatory sense of the word. Novelties are great.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Thumbprint series kind of is.
Yeah, exactly.
Part. Yeah. Although I heard that the Scream Double IPA is going to be maybe year-round now, which used to be a Thumbprint, which that was a really good brew. But I digress.
All right. Well, I think we've said it. I think that was a good analysis of that one.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Now there's three people on the show, so who does the social media plugs is the question.
I can do it. You guys have
we'll make Mike do it.
Yeah, you guys have been picking up the slack for a while. I can take care of it.
Slacker.
Hopefully, I remember everything. So APM Pod is the main way to find us. APMPod@gmail.com. APM Pod is our username on Untappd, and I just looked, and they have not been logged since I left the show. But I did just put in this one, so at least we're kind of caught up. APM Pod is our Twitter handle. Michael does a great job with the images for that. Facebook.com/APM Pod. You'll also find the images there. Connect with us on either of those social medias. Tell us what you'd like us to drink. We'll try, per Christine's request, try and put stuff out there before we taste it, so you get a chance to pick it up for yourself and taste along. Jeremy just toasted our check-in.
I knew you were going to say that.
To Spotted Cow on Untappd. Otherwise, we're on iTunes. Please leave us a rating, 5 stars. We're also on Stitcher and Google Music. I think that's everything.
I think we got it. Yeah,
that sounds
about
right.
When I used to record, I didn't really pay attention during this point, so I don't know. I usually was never sure if it was actually everything or not, but I think that was everything.
Who cares?
Write in if we miss something.
It's Christmas, so
It's Christmas, yeah. Give me the gift of being wrong.
Yeah, thanks to those who have been emailing into and tweeting. Obviously, Jeremy and I have banked a lot of shows.
Yeah, we did.
The situation, so we kind of stalled on the mailbag, and those who kept favoriting and liking and sending us messages via any means, we appreciate it. So continue to do so. Yeah, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
And for Michael,
here we go.
Now you did it.
And for Mike and Jeremy, I'm Michael.
And for Jeremy and Michael, I'm Mike.
For Mike and Michael, I'm Jeremy.
And you've been listening to American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.